Hallelujah.
Is he your peace?
Yes.
Is he your rest?
Yes.
Is he your confidence?
Yes.
Is he your help?
Yes.
Is he your shield?
Yes.
Is he your helper?
Yes.
Is he your intercessor?
Yes.
Amen. He is the I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How's everyone tonight?
Yes.
Blessed. Okay, good. Before we begin, I just want to share this. I'd like to thank our pastors, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Ed, and Pastor Greg, for this opportunity to share tonight with you. And tonight is going to be an interesting message. It's not going to be long, but no, everybody laughed at that one. It's not going to be long, but what it is, it's going to be a little bit different than what you're used to hearing on a Wednesday night. Because what's going to happen tonight is this. God is doing something in this congregation. See, God is, let me take a step back. God is doing something in each and every one of us as individuals. Amen? God is doing something in this congregation. God is going to take this congregation and do something for this community. You hear me? God is going to take you and this congregation and this community. He's going to do something for this state. You follow what I'm saying? So you got to see the big picture. See, because if you don't see the big picture, then what happens is we get caught up in these little things. And tonight's message, I'll tell you how it got started. And that's why you need to come out on Friday nights.
All right.
This message that I'm going to share with you tonight, God gave it to me 2 weeks ago on a Friday night. All he did was he gave it to me. I didn't know when it was going to be said and what was going to happen. But he gave it. Now, just to preface that, this morning when I woke up, the interesting thing was when I woke up, I couldn't see any prints. I couldn't see anything printed. I couldn't see what I wrote down. I couldn't see anything. I could see people, but I couldn't see what was written down. But I brought my reading glasses, and I said I was determined that God has given this for me to share tonight, and you're going to get it one way or the other. So while I was in the office walking around praying and interceding, I opened up my notes, and I said, wow, I can see those things clear. So what I'm trying to share with you is this. Don't be moved by what you're being subjected to right now. What's happening right now is no indication of what God is doing in your life. Amen? What the indication of what God is doing in your life is when you purpose to go all the way with him, to serve him all the way. Amen?
Amen?
So with that in mind, why don't we do this? I always have a little flashback. We had the night Bible studies. Remember those? And I had this confession. I used to say it, and I thought it was for you. But really, it later became a confession for me. So I say this every day. So say this with me. Say, I stay steady,
I stay steady
during these unstable times,
regardless of what comes my way.
God's way,
God's way
is my way.
Is my way.
Each day,
I renew my mind
to the word of God.
I walk in love.
I stay in faith.
I am a doer of the word of God
and not just a hearer.
In every and all situations,
I respond
with love and faith.
When the negative issues of life come against me,
I am not afraid.
My heart is fixed.
I trust in God's holy word.
I take the time
to examine myself
according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32.
And I am quick
to repent of anything that I find out of order in my life.
Now unto you, Heavenly Father,
who is able to do
exceeding
abundantly
above
all that I can ask or think,
according to your power
that's at work in my life,
I know
that the best days of my life
are ahead with you, Heavenly Father.
Everything that you have promised me,
you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you receive it? Then it's yours. Amen? So let's turn in our Bibles this evening to, we're going to open in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and I'm going to tell you, while you're turning there, what the Lord imparted to me and shared with me, and I'm going to share it with you tonight briefly. He was telling me that with this ministry and what's going to happen, he told me what's going to happen, okay? So I'm released to share this piece. He told me that in the springtime, that's all he told me. He said, in the springtime, there's going to be a breaking forth, okay? Now, you know how in the natural, in the springtime, the trees bud, right? And then they blossom, right? Sometimes you don't even see how quick they blossom, but the Lord said the same thing is going to happen here. There's going to be a breaking forth in this community. And it's going to be you guys. Me with you, well, but this message tonight is going to like set the table for that. Okay? Because you need to understand what God wants to do. So let's turn this. You're in 2 Timothy?
Yes.
2 Timothy, look at verse 20. Oh, it's chapter 2, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Is everyone there? And we're going to read a few verses, okay? Let's begin reading at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to do what? To honor, and some to do what? Dishonor. Now look at verse 21. If a what? If a man therefore would do what? So in other words, if a man would do what? Purge himself. So in other words, God's not going to purge you. You got that? The pastor's not going to purge you. The bishop's not going to purge you. The person sitting next to you is not going to purge you. Who's going to purge you? You. If a man would purge himself from these, he shall be what? A vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for whose use? For the master's use, and prepared for what? Every good work. Then he says also, flee also youthful lusts, but follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity there means what? Love, peace, and them that do what? Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions do what? So when you hear foolish and unlearned questions, what are you going to do? Avoid them. Okay, very good. Knowing that they do what? Gender strives. Now here's the verse, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may do what? Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now tonight what we're going to focus in on, and this is what God said. He said the ones that are going to be used, that he's going to use in this upcoming time that we're going to experience, is going to be those that he calls the servant of the Lord. So tonight we're going to look at the servant of the Lord. Amen? So now in this verse it says servant, right? Now that word, if you turn to Strong's 1401, I didn't write out the name, but here's the definition. What it means to be a servant. It means to be a slave, voluntary and involuntary. It means to be in subjection. It means to be a bond servant. Now, don't turn there, but you can make notes of this. In James, the epistle, James 1:1, James refers to himself as what? A servant of God. Now, he was a half-brother of Jesus. But notice he didn't say James, the half-brother of Jesus. He said what? Servant of God. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says this boldly. He says, Paul, a servant of God. See, he didn't say Paul, the apostle. He said what? A servant, right? Jude, the book of Jude, and that's another half-brother of Jesus, right? Jude says this. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say the servant of my big brother. He said the servant of Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3.
Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to read this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. Are you there? I hear pages rustling. I'll wait. Okay, are you there now? Okay, let's read it. And Moses verily was what? Faithful in all his house as what? So Moses, right? Moses was a prophet. But notice it says he was faithful as what? As a servant. Where? In all his house. As a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after. Now, in that same token, turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, because we're going to look at Moses again, but I want you to see it in the Old Testament as well. Exodus chapter 14, and let's look at verse 31. Exodus 14, 31. Let me know when you're there. You're there? Okay, one person's there. Let's get everybody there. Okay, everyone's there? Good. Now, let's read this together. We're going to really focus in on the latter part of that, but let's read the whole thing. And Israel saw that great works which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people did what? Fear the Lord and believe the Lord. And who? And his servant, who? Moses. Now, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but Paul makes mention of Epaphras, right? And he calls him a servant of Christ, okay? Because he was fervent in prayer, okay? In Romans chapter 16, verse 1, Paul makes mention of another person, a lady by the name of Phoebe. Phoebe was let's turn there. I don't want you to see this. Romans chapter 16. Some of you probably didn't know who's Phoebe. Who's that? Okay. You know who Phoebe is. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Yeah, let's read that. I want to read verse 1 and 2. But let's focus in on verse 1. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is what? A servant of who? Of the church. Now hold it right there. Phoebe was Paul called her a servant of the church. So in other words, Phoebe was a deacon. Because that's really what it meant. See, a deacon is the servant of the church. Let me say that again. A deacon is a servant in the church. Okay? One more time. Let me say it over on this side. Phoebe was what? Of the church. And what was she? A deacon. Okay, now, good. Okay, we're going somewhere with this. Okay? Look at verse 2. Paul is telling this. He says, that you receive her as how? In the Lord, as becometh saints, and that you do what? Assist her whatever business she have need of you. For she has been a succorer or a helper of many and of myself. Now let's go over this again. A deacon is what? A servant where? In the church. So in other words, in the church there are deacons, and we should do what? Assist them, right? So you're not getting off the hook either. So we should be assisting the deacons where? In the church. Okay, there you go. We're going somewhere with this. All right. Now, keep this in mind. Phoebe was noted as a servant. Now, if you notice, all of these people that I just mentioned, they were commended as being what? What were they noted for being? Servants. So in other words, they weren't apostles, even though some of them were. They weren't noted for that. Some of them were prophets, but they weren't noted for that. Some of them were ministers, and they weren't noted for that. But they were noted as what? Servant. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. The highest position. Now, think about it this way. In this country, in this land, what's the highest position? The president, right? He's the chief executive officer, right? Right? Yes. In the military, what's the highest position? Not only general, but the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Okay, you got that? So the president in this country, the Oval Office is the highest place, right? In the military, Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? In the kingdom of God, if you're taking notes, write this down. The highest position in the kingdom of God is being a servant. Amen. Okay? Now turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says something very important, and sometimes we don't really meditate on it enough. We hear it and we give lip service to it, but we don't really hear it enough. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 20, beginning at verse 26. Okay? Matter of fact, go up to verse 25. And Jesus says this, "But Jesus called them and said unto them," he said, "you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." In other words, Jesus was saying this, the Gentiles, and that are people who are not in the church, right? They're not Jewish, they're the Gentiles. He said the Gentiles like to exercise authority over people, okay? But now look at what Jesus says. He says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Let him be your minister." Now, another meaning for that word minister is what? Servant. Look at verse 27. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be what? Your servant." So in other words, what Jesus was saying, Jesus was introducing a principle of the kingdom of God. So in other words, if you want to be chief and boss in the kingdom, what do you got to be? A servant, okay? All right, now we're going somewhere. Now, let's move on to another area. Look at Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And this is a familiar passage to many of us. Let's begin reading at verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Are you there? Okay, now, let's begin reading. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what?" So what did Jesus do? He put on the form of what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him and did what? And gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's something interesting in that passage I want you to see. Jesus was born what? Son of God, right? So he was born a son of God, but what did he do? He took on what? The form of what? Of a servant. Now here's what Jesus was illustrating to us. Each and every one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you are a son of God. If you were to die, you go right to heaven. If the trumpet were to sound, you go up. But what Jesus was illustrating to us, and this is the same example to us, we can be born sons of God, but being a servant is by choice. So in other words, we're sons by birth, but we're servants by choice. Do you see that?
Yes.
Say that with me. Say, I'm a son by birth, but
I'm a servant by choice.
Okay, good. You got it. I remember years ago, Dr. Ed Cole shared that with us. He said, we are sons of God by the new birth, but we are servants by choice. And in this example, we've seen that Jesus, because he humbled himself, he had to become obedient even to death. That what happened? God exalted him, right? And gave him a name. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If you desire to be exalted in the kingdom of God, it will come in your servants, in your service and obedience to him. Let me say that again. If you desire to be exalted in the kingdom of God, it's going to come by your service and obedience to the master's plan for your life. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Now here's something I want you to understand. Being a servant of the Lord is whose decision then? It's your decision. I can't decide for you to make you a servant of the Lord. We have to decide to become servants of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's look at this, because now we got to qualify. Because we've already established the fact that the highest position that we can obtain in the kingdom of God as being what? A servant, right? But now we also understand that we have to choose to be what? A servant. Now we have to make that choice, but now we have to qualify, okay? Turn back to 2 Timothy. Turn back to 2 Timothy. Now we're going to look at our qualifications, amen? Beginning at verse 24, let's read it again. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, where we were. That's our text for tonight, amen? Okay, thank you. Is everyone there now? Let's read it again. And the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive. Okay, number one, here's what we got to qualify in. The servant of the Lord must not strive, or I like to say it this way, the servant of the Lord must not get involved in strife. Okay? In other words, as a servant of the Lord, and remember, we're going to be, God's going to use us to go into this community, we can't get involved in strife. Okay? I remember when I first came to this church and I was in the new members class. That's when they had at one night, the class was in one night, and I remember we was out in the sanctuary, and I heard Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah say this. They said, we will work with everyone and anyone that has a drug problem. You have any kind of problem, we'll pray with you, we'll believe you, we'll help you through it. We'll show you what the word has to say. They said, but one thing we will not tolerate in this ministry is someone bringing strife. Now, I thought that was kind of shocking. I said, wow, man, that's a heavy, because they'll deal with a guy that's got a drug problem. They'll deal with a person that's got this other problem. But why don't they want to deal with somebody that's in strife? I'm glad you said that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I know you were thinking that. Proverbs chapter 6. Turn there, please. So the servant of the Lord must not be given to what? Strife. Okay, good. Now here's the reason why. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read this. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now here it is. And he that does what? Soweth discord among brethren. Now, that word there, sowing discord among brethren, means getting into strife. So in other words, God hates strife. So that's why the pastors, Pastors Clinton and Pastor Sarah, said that, and the word backs that up. Church, we cannot afford to engage in strife. And let me tell you why. The reason why we can't avoid, I mean, let's face it, people in situations are going to come, and people are going to try to get you into strife, okay? Let's face it, we're not going to avoid that, but we cannot afford to engage in it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm saying that is because when we're engaging in strife, really we're engaging in the works of Satan. Amen. The same way the Bible says faith works by what? Love, right? Well, evil works by what? Strife. So that's why in this church, in this congregation, in this body, we're not going to tolerate strife. I mean, I'll pray for you. If you got a situation, I'll pray with you. I'll agree with you. But if you want to get into strife, what's that song that Ray Charles sung, Hit the Road, Jack? We should start playing that and sending people out the door, right? If you want to get into strife, hit the road, Jack. You know. Now, we won't say that. That's not nice. That's not nice. I take that back. I'll reel that back in, okay? But we cannot afford to engage in strife, amen? It's so important, okay? Now, here's something I want you to think about. As servants of the Lord, right, that's number one. Go back to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So as servants of the Lord, number one, we have to what? Avoid what? Strife. Okay, number two, are you there? Let's look at this again. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be what? Gentle. Now, that's an interesting thing. Let me give you a definition of the word gentle. It means kindly, amicable, not severe, not rough, and not violent, but mild. So as servants of the Lord, we are to be what? Gentle, okay? Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And looking at verse 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Okay? Is everyone there? Now, Paul, who's Paul writing to here? He's writing to who? He's writing to the Ephesians. In other words, he's writing to who? Christians, right? So he's writing to us too, okay? Now, let's see what he says. Ready? He says what? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're to be gentle. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Okay? Paul's writing to who in this epistle? Christians, right? So he's writing to us, right? Let's read it, okay? Let's say it. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So in other words, Paul is telling us to put these things on, right? As servants of the Lord, it's important that we are gentle. You know, there's something about being gentle. It has an alluring factor, amen? Now think about this. When I think about someone being gentle, I think about, remember in the book of Ruth, Boaz? He was gentle. Because what he did was, when she came into his tent, he could have exposed her, right? But what did he do? He put his robe or cloak over her to protect her, right? Wouldn't you say that was a gentle act?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, when I think of gentle, I think of another person, Joseph, but Joseph and Mary, Jesus' stepfather.
Yes.
He was a gentleman too, because what he could have done, because his wife, the lady he's getting ready to get engaged to, he's engaged to, turns up pregnant. And according to the law, he could have had her stoned. But what does the Bible say he did? He was preparing to put her away quietly. In other words, he wasn't going to expose her. He wasn't going to bring ridicule and say, oh, look what this woman did to me, right? And remember, the whole community knew about this. But he was what? Gentle, right? So let's give you another example. I'll save Jesus for a minute. Here's something to think about. Ladies, you can help me with this. Tell me if this is true. Women are attracted to gentleness.
Yes.
Let's take a poll, okay? Ready? If I say amen, when I go on this side and I say something, say amen if you agree with that and the other one. Okay, if there's a man standing here, and this man is a roughneck, Joe Roughneck, how many of you like a roughneck? Okay. Now we have Joseph over here, who is gentle.
Amen.
One more time, he's gentle.
Amen.
Gentlemen, you got that? See? It's alluring, okay? I remembered my wife Valerie, when I first was meeting her and dating her, she said something to me and it startled me because it sounded foreign to my ears. She said, you're such a gentle man. Now, when she said that, I took it the wrong way. See, because I wasn't even saved at that time. I was saved? Okay, my mind wasn't renewed, okay? But I remember she said, you're such a gentle man. And I looked at her. And in my upbringing, when you said a guy was gentle, that meant he was a punk or he was confused about his gender, okay? But it wasn't until, hear me out. That's what I thought. But it wasn't until I got my mind renewed to the Word of God that really when that characteristic of being gentle is a characteristic of God.
Amen.
Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm not making this up. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
Amen? Is everyone there? I want everybody to see this. I don't want anybody to fall asleep on me. So the servant of the Lord, first of all, must do what? Avoid strife, right? What's the second thing? The servant of the Lord must be what?
Gentle.
Okay, now look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Is everyone there now? Let's read. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. It's referring to God there, as in his dealing with Israel, right? God would, he's going to gently lead them. Now turn to Psalm 8, the 18th Psalm. Psalm 18, look at verse 35. And when I saw this, I said, wow. Thank you for complimenting me that those many years ago, Valerie. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that. You know, took me so many years. How many years ago you said that about? Took me all these years to catch on to it, but thank you, sweetheart. Thank you so much. I hope I'm still gentle. Psalm 18. I'm meddling now. Psalm 18. Let me get back to the message. Psalm 18, verse 35. Is everyone there? Let's read it. Now, David is saying this, referring to God. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up. And what? And thy gentleness has done what? Makes me great. So in other words, God's gentleness in our lives makes us great. Let's read that one more time. Okay, let that set in there. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. So now, here's what we want to look at. When we think about Jesus, we think about someone being gentle, right? Almost every act that Jesus did in his ministry was with gentleness, okay? In 2 Corinthians, you don't got to turn there, but Paul was referring to this. He says, the gentleness of Christ. He makes reference to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. So in other words, the servant of the Lord must do what? Number one, avoid what? Avoid strife. Number two, he must be what?
Gentle.
Be gentle. Okay, let's look at number three. Turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle unto who? Unto all men. You got that? Not just gentle to people in the church. Not just gentle to people in the neighborhood and not being nice to people in the church. But to how many people? All people. All men. All people. Amen? But now what else he has to do? Apt to teach. Now that word apt, A-P-T. I had to look that definition up on that one. It means a skilled and suitable teacher. So in other words, here's something to think about. It didn't say that you got to be a Bible scholar. It didn't say you had to have the Bible teaching ministry. No, it just says that you should be skilled, right? You should be skilled and a suitable teacher. It's important that the servant of the Lord is able to share their faith. It's important for you to be able to share your faith in Christ with others in a skilled, suitable fashion. That's all it's saying, okay? Now think about this. Jesus, wasn't Jesus a skilled, suitable teacher?
Yes.
What did he do with the woman at the well? What was the entrance into her? She had water. He was introducing what? Living water. When he was up on the roof at night with Nicodemus, what was he talking to Nicodemus about? The new birth. You follow what I'm saying? So Jesus knew his audiences. When Jesus spoke to the multitudes, how did he speak to them? He spoke to them in parables. And you know why he spoke to them in parables? Because in parables, what he was doing was he was introducing the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, to terms they can understand. So in other words, we could say it this way. Parables are really heavenly messages in earthly terms. So that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was a skilled teacher. He's skilled. He knew his audience. He knew who he was talking to. And the same thing for us as servants of the Lord. We got to know the audience we're talking to. See, I can't walk into a crack house and start talking to Elizabethan English saying, dost thou know that thou pipest in thy mouth and as you inhaleth?
It is not good for thee. Right? We got to be skilled. You got to know how to relate to them. You got to, and what we're saying is we got to get this community to understand the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay, you follow that? So the servant of the Lord, number one, must what? Avoid strife. What's the other thing? He must be what?
Gentle.
And what's the third thing? Apt to teach. Okay, good. You got it. Now, there's another thing we have to do with this, apt to teach. I'm glad he put it in there. And what's the next thing next to teach? Patient. Now we're going somewhere, right? Now, here, listen to this definition. Patience is the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint. Let me say that one more time. Bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint. Loss of temper, irritation, or the like. So in other words, in meekness, we're going to instruct them. Now look at verse 25. He says, in meekness, what are we going to do? Instructing those that do what? Oppose themselves. So in other words, here's what's going to happen. We're going to run into people in this community that really they're going to be opposing them. They're really opposing themselves. They're not opposing you. So if they walk up to you and use some profane language or a gesture, you know what I mean? And if they say things and as you're talking with them, really what they're doing is they're opposing themselves. That's the only way they know how to articulate it. That's why we need to be patient. That's why we need to be gentle, okay? And we need to do it in meekness. Now, understand this. Meekness doesn't mean that we let them walk all over us. You follow what I'm saying? What meekness is, the Bible says this about Moses. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. What meekness really means is this, is your strength, your power and your strength under restraint. You know, under the restraint of God. But now if God lifts the signal and says, go get him. I'm only playing. My wife says, stop. No, but the point I'm making is this. We're going to be dealing with a community of people who really hate themselves. They just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Before you came to Christ, you hated yourself.
Amen.
I knew I hated myself. I hated myself so much that every week or every weekend, I was smoking, snorting, drinking, and I thought I was all right. I was trying to get high. But the truth of the matter was what? I hated myself. But it wasn't until I came into contact with Jesus Christ that my mind began to get renewed. I began to understand that God had a bigger purpose, a higher purpose for my life. So we have to communicate that to this community as well. Amen? So we have to be patient, right? And instruct those who oppose themselves. Now, I stated before, we are sons of God, how? By birth. But we're servants, how? By choice. Okay, that's something I want you to understand. Now, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we're going to close with this. Now, wasn't this a short message? They said, mm-hmm, okay. Well, let's see what else God got. No, there's more to this. Don't worry. There's more. I'm just trying to find 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is the Bible. I don't have my tabs in, so I got to. Okay, here it is. 2 Chronicles. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Are you learning anything tonight? Okay, good. I'm glad you are. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. The latter part of verse 5. Okay? Because he's talking about these things in the tabernacle. For the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. What is that word called? Artificers? Okay. Who then? Now listen to what he says. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Let me say that one more time. Who then is willing? Because remember, they were doing this work for building the temple. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day as unto the Lord? Now let me read that verse in the Living Bible. It says it this way. Now then, who will follow my example? Who will give himself and all that he has to the Lord. As I said earlier and as I said before, we have been born into the kingdom of God. We are sons of God. But now being a servant of God is your choice. And what God was saying to them in Chronicles, he's saying it to us tonight. Who will avail themselves? Who will consecrate themselves to the service of the Lord? Every head bowed. As I said earlier, the highest position in the kingdom of God is at the feet of Jesus, serving where he directs you to serve. And what it's going to take to do the things that God has spoken to our pastors, what he wants done in this community, is going to take people who are servants of the Lord. So if you're here tonight, first of all, I'm going to make this appeal. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I will be honored to share with you how you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and we welcome you into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. So if you're here tonight and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please lift up your hand. Okay, that's that appeal. Now here's the second appeal. If you're here tonight and God has been speaking to you about your service and about how you are to serve, if you're here tonight and you want to consecrate your service to the Lord, then I want you to raise your hand tonight. God will honor you. He'll honor you. I see those hands. Yes, I see that hand. I see those hands. Now listen very carefully what I'm saying. When we talk about being the servant of the Lord, it's our choice, our willing of ourselves, giving of ourselves. And what the writer of Chronicles was saying, who will consecrate? Now let me just clarify that. Consecrate means to set apart for a purpose. Tonight, you're here tonight, and you mean business with God. I want you to come down here right now in this front area here. Come down here right now. Don't delay. Okay, Lord, yeah. There's more. Come down here right now. Because what it is this. We make a decision daily. You see, while the people are coming, I'll just say this. You know, there's two types of servants. There's the servant who comes and says, hey, I'll serve, but I ain't going to do that. I can't do that. No, my schedule won't allow that. Or, no, I can't get involved in that. What will they think? Or, no, I can't, you know, it's just not me. It's not the way I am. I don't know. God's not going to use me that way. See, God uses servants. And the highest position that we can ever obtain in this walk, in this life that we have right now. See, some people run after titles. You know, and that's the problem, I think, in the church today. We got too many people with titles, but no servants' hearts. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I don't mean that as pointing a finger. But we need God needs, I'll put it that way, God needs people that he can count on in a moment's notice. Amen. That will do what he says to do, where he tells them to do it, how he tells them to do it. And the first place we begin with our service is in our house. Serving this house. And right now there's some divided hearts. See, because you can't be a servant of the Lord with a divided heart. So if your heart's divided about, oh, I don't know where to serve, I don't know what I should be doing, you need to come down here right now, and God will make it clear to you. He'll make it clear to you right now. Okay, Lord, okay. All right, okay. This I'm going to wait a few more minutes because there's a few more people that need to be down here. And I'm saying it. I'll put it this way. I'm saying it out of love. I'm coming from the platform of love. See, because here's what happens with us. If you don't know, and all the people that the scriptures that I shared tonight, everyone that served, Moses knew who he was serving. Okay, I'll do that. While you're still coming and while you're still thinking about it, come down here while I'm talking, because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now. I want to show you that way. That way you don't think I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. Church, believe you me, I'm not making this up. Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to read something. Okay, just listen, and then you and as you hear from God, you come down here, because this is for you. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for the heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So God brought everybody in the camp in front of them. This is after they went into the promised land, right? Now let me keep on going, because Joshua is now highlighting what God did for them, right? But now look at verse 14. He says this in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now listen to what Joshua says. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But notice what Joshua said. He summed it all up. "But as for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord." So we need people who are going to serve God with a whole heart, not a divided heart. More people should be down here, I'm telling you right now.